Welcome to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast, where we aim to give swimming the coverage and publicity it deserves. Every week, we celebrate the sport we love with amazing special guests and topics from around the swimming pool. And now, here are your hosts, Scott and Dan.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott, and back with me, finally, Dan is back with us. My co-host, who has been long-lost soldier of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. We haven't heard from you for a while, Dan. How are you?
Yes, I'm very well. It has been a while. I was trying to work it out before we started this. I think it was back in November was the last time I was on. That's a long time, isn't it?
I think it was the ISL final preview. That was the last podcast we did together.
Oh, yeah, it was, wasn't it? Oh, wow. So long ago.
So if anyone doesn't know or hasn't listened to the previous podcast, Dan is our resident coach, swim teacher. He is a former, Olympic trials swimmer? You were that good?
Yeah, I qualified for Olympic trials and Commonwealth trials back in the day. Yes, yeah.
So usually when we are interviewing swimmers, Dan would be joining me. He would be here with me. But obviously COVID took its toll and we aren't mixing households. So he's not joining me on the sofa where we'd usually speak to former swimmers or current swimmers. And he also decided to take a little bit of a break from swimming because your livelihood depends on the swimming pool, doesn't it? And you've basically had now close to 12 months on and off furlough.
I've now described my new job description as full-time furlough. I've said this to my girlfriend and all my families. So it's full-time furlough, but the YouTube channel is actually keeping me going. I've done lots of stuff behind the scenes. We've obviously said about the guests that we've got on, so I've helped with that and done stuff behind the scenes, which we have planned for everyone in the future.
Yeah, so you basically, over Christmas, you guys managed to get on a flight and get out of the country and you gave yourself kind of a nice mental break from the rubbish that is the UK scene right now.
Yes. Well, my girlfriend is Zimbabwean, and that's the reason why we went there. And we were going to go there anyway over Christmas. But we left 3 weeks early because of lockdown was in November.
Well, you didn't have a job.
I didn't have a job either. And so we just went a little bit earlier. That was the whole reason we went at that time.
Yeah.
And,
so basically, Dan has still been involved in every interview you've heard. He's done the prep for me. He has found out questions to ask the swimmers that we've had on. And you will hear a lot of the time when I'm speaking to the swimmers, I'll be like, well, this is a question Dan really wants me to ask. So what do you think? Mm. So even though you may not hear him in a lot of the interviews while we are going through lockdown, believe me, he is a big part of the podcast.
You've basically taken all the limelight. That's what's happened.
Only because I'm the only one who knows how to work a computer. You're completely tech illiterate.
Well, I can work a computer, but that's the limit. You know, These mics are a nightmare. You've had to help me on that a lot. But yeah.
So right now he's at the end of a Zoom call. We aren't going to do interviews by Zoom because it just gets a little bit complicated with two interviewers and then one guest on a Zoom call. But while me and Dan are discussing topics, this is a perfectly reasonable setup.
Yeah, we like to keep the audio quality as high as possible. And if we have three microphones going from three different phones, it all becomes a little bit of a mess. So, yes, yeah.
So on this week's show, what we thought we'd do with the world of swimming kind of on pause, there's not much news, there's not too many topics to talk about. We thought we'd have a bit of fun on this week's podcast.
Yeah, it was a good idea from you, actually. I mean, you suggested it, I think, last week, and you said, we should do a Frankenstein podcast. And I was like, what are you on about?
Yeah.
What do you mean by Frankenstein podcast? But yes, you can explain now.
For all the listeners, we are going to build our Frankenstein monster swimmer. So what we are going to do is we are going to break down what we think makes a perfect swimmer into different attributes, and then we are going to pick a swimmer, regardless of stroke or gender, for each of those attributes, and that will become our Frankenstein monster. Now, our rules for this are they have to be current swimmers, so no easy picks of Phelps or Thorpe. Mm-hmm. Instantly, we kind of ruled those out. We're just like, well, that's a bit boring. Let's go with the current crop of swimmers and see what we get to, because we haven't discussed this with each other.
No, the only thing we've discussed is that I think, what is it, 8 or 9 attributes that we've chosen. And then that's as far as we've discussed. That's it.
So we've got eight topics, like you said, swimmer attributes that we're going to go through. We're going to debate with each other. And hopefully we then come to what would be this world-beating swimmer.
Let's go for it. I think this would be good fun. We haven't done a podcast like this for a while, so let's crack on.
Let's have some fun. Okay, so let's start with the dive, or the start on the initial underwater phase. That is our first attribute for this swimmer. Now, I have two in mind here.
Okay.
One is blatantly obvious.
Yes, I think we can agree on that one, yes. And what's your other choice?
My other choice. So the first one, in case anyone isn't aware, Caleb Dressel.
Yes, I
don't think I need to go into too much detail. My other choice is Ryan Murphy.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So we have just done a black ball breakdown of Ryan Murphy. It's on its way on our YouTube channel.
Yes.
And one thing that we found is his reaction times, his underwater work is just nuts.
It's this comes on to my later one, but yes, his underwater work is absolutely incredible. But it's not the choice I had. I had a female swimmer. I had Cromwell Yo-Yo.
Oh.
Because her starts are, I think, the best starting female in the world right now.
Okay. So you got Cromwell Yo-Yo against Dressel.
Against Dressel. And out of those two, it is a bit of a no-brainer, let's face it. This was our easiest pick, I think.
Yeah, Caleb Dressel. You say it was our easiest pick. We haven't discussed this, Dan.
That's very true, but I think we can both agree.
So yeah, Caleb Dressel has to be our start or our dive of our swimmer. But there's two very big honourable mentions there.
I think we've done a blackboard breakdown of Dressel and his vertical jump heights. You know, it's higher than the average NBA player. So his spring off the block is just immense. And obviously we know how good his underwater phase is. And
we've done many challenges as well, haven't we?
Yes, yeah. And in pretty much every race that he does, his first 15 meters, he's half a bud length ahead.
Yeah.
And on a 50 meter race, I mean, the race is over by that point.
Yeah.
So it has to go to Dressel.
So that's an easy pick. So the next attribute is stroke technique. Now, this was quite an easy one for me. I have
one
name and one name only.
Interesting. This is the one I sort of struggled with because we talked about at the very beginning that it has to be current swimmers. And if we involved former swimmers, it was an easy choice for me. It was Ian Thorpe all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't. It has to be current swimmers. And so this is the one I kind of struggled with to pinpoint just one name.
Well, go on. Then.
I've got two. I've got Kate Campbell. And I've also got Rylov as well.
Okay. I like that.
It's quite a difficult topic because there's four different strokes, obviously, and everyone's going to excel in their stroke. And you've got to try and pinpoint one. And Kate Campbell is very good at freestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, Rylov. I am a big fan of Rylov's backstroke.
Yeah.
To choose between those two is difficult, but you've got to interject yours as well, yeah?
Yeah, I do. So mine was Katie Ledecky.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because she does a very weird stroke for a female freestyler. She does a gallop kind of stroke.
Mm.
So what that means is she uses a hell of a lot of core and hip rotation to really get deep into her stroke and get deeper into the water. And it's usually something only male swimmers can do. And I say only male swimmers, only the top male swimmers, because it takes a hell of a lot of core strength to rotate with the strength that she does.
Yeah, she kind of adopted the Phelps front crawl technique.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's the reason I'm picking her, because her stroke is like, that's hard to do as a guy.
Yeah.
She's the reason she's killing everyone in freestyle is because she's got that extremely strong stroke.
Yes, it's very true. The only reason I've picked Kate Campbell is that her stroke rate is actually quite slow. She's quite powerful in the water. She catches a lot of water. And although the stroke rate isn't fast, she's actually able, the distance per stroke is very high. Obviously, her leg kick is very strong as well, being a 50 and 100 meter swimmer. And then,
it's
of course, Rylov.
It's the theme for the, the Aussie freestyle kind of theme.
Mm.
They look slow and lazy. There's not the massive pace that you have over here in Europe or America, but yet they're just as fast and they are always very good on the back end of a race.
Well, I could literally list off loads of Australian swimmers. You've got the James Magnussons back in the day. You've got the Carl Chalmers now. You know, there's loads. They all do the same sort of technique. It looks like they've all been coached by the same person. And Kate Campbell's no different as well.
Yeah.
But I'm honestly, I'm stuck on this one. This was my hardest pick of the whole lot, actually.
You know what? I don't know where to go because I love the suggestion of Rylov. It's not just his backstroke. His backstroke's phenomenal. It's so smooth through the water, but it's also his freestyle. I actually think come Tokyo 2021, if it goes ahead, he might be a bit of a dark horse for the 100 free. I honestly think that.
Yeah, he actually did it really well in the ISL, didn't he, to be fair?
He went very under the radar in his freestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. So I suppose that's a little bit of a string to his bow, being able to do two strokes to the high elite level. But yes, his backstroke, I've been raving about it since he broke onto the stage, really. It's so smooth, so efficient. Yeah. So I'd be leaning towards Rylov if I were to pick between Campbell and Rylov. It just depends whether you want Ledecky to overtake Rylov or not.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough.
This is the hardest one just because there's four different strokes. So it's a tough one.
We go Rylov for smooth.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll agree with that. Okay.
All right. What's the next one then?
Third attribute then is pacing or tactics in a race. Now, there's several we could choose from here. One of the standouts at ISL, we obviously spoke to him and we're slightly biased, is Tom Dean. In terms of, for me, though, my favorite tactic, for me, I base this around stroke counting.
Okay.
So how they finish a race, whether they finish on a full stroke, a half stroke. And it's something Michael Phelps always did because we all know the story of his 200 meters butterfly where he did the whole race basically blind and he stroke counted the whole thing. That's what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about pacing race tactics. So for me, I am picking Lily King.
Okay. Yeah, she did. There was one race in the ISL where she had to get the perfect stroke timing or stroke count to be able to win the race. So
I
can see where you're coming from, actually.
Breaststroke.
Was it the 50? Yeah, I think you might be right.
So it sounds weird to give it because of a 50 breaststroke, but the fact that she always finishes on that full stroke, she is always looking and spotting where the wall is. That's my pick for race tactics.
Yeah, I think a lot of breaststrokers would be high up in that regard. Then if you're looking at stroke count, butterfly is also a stroke counting stroke, which you need to have. My choice was Katie Ledecky.
Okay.
There was one race, which I can't remember now, but she was doing the 800 free and she actually broke her PB for the first 400 split.
I know the race you're on about. It was her first ever Olympic Games, the 800 free, where she beat Becky Adlington. She set a new PB, tough feat.
That's right. Oh, yes, that's right.
Which is just stunning.
Yeah, I mean, it was just awesome. And the fact that she's able to not just go out fast, but then she's able to hold on to it as well, hold on to that pace. This is where my mindset was going.
Okay. So race tactics. Yeah.
And that she doesn't have to go out hard all the time. She actually does. It looks like she goes out hard because she's so far ahead of everyone else.
But
she holds it. So that's the reason why I chose Ledecky, because you need that sort of tactics for the longer distance races to, I suppose, keep it fresh in her mind. You know, you've got to work out which way works best for you. At the moment, it looks like she goes out fast and then holds on. But she's still quite young, so she's still able to change the tactics, see what suits her when she gets older.
Do you know what? One's just come to mind where you're talking about race pacing. And because we spoke about all this Aussie freestyle, Kyle Chalmers, because of the way he swims that 100 meter free, the way he comes back, he always turns in sixth or seventh. And I've read articles that are just like, Kyle Chalmers needs to work on his start. It's like, whoa, steady on. He purposely holds off on that first 50 to come back.
Yeah. So
when we're talking about pacing and tactics, that's a good shout out, but that could go to pretty much any Aussie 100 meter freestyler. They all back end speed it.
Yeah, I remember Bob Bowman was talking about it once upon a time when Phelps was swimming, and he raves about the last 50 meters of a 100 meter race. My mindset is it's 100 meters, it's less than a minute, or you know, it's 45 seconds, 46 seconds. You should be going flat out from the beginning, but obviously, it's important to have that last 50 meter speed. So it depends. What sort of thing do you want to look at? Do you want to look at the pacing or do you want to look at tactics and stroke count?
You've swayed me with Ledecky.
Yeah,
I think you have.
Two from two?
Yeah. So purely because, like you said, she picks this 100 split. It's almost like triathlon swimming. She picks this 100 pace that she's going to go through the whole 800 and holds it. Like, yeah. no fluctuation, no nothing. And it's, she just destroys the field every time she does it.
The engine on her is incredible. And I think, like you were saying before, with her stroke technique, it obviously helps her, which makes it even more amazing because it's quite a tiring stroke. You can't really hold that for, you shouldn't be able to hold it for as long as she does, which is credit to her and her training and her aerobic machine, if you like.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so the fourth attribute is swim speed. So how fast someone is through the water. And being a British podcast, this is really only ever going to go one way, isn't it?
I suppose so. I mean, I know who the person you're thinking of, but I'm thinking of other people, actually. So it's another worth debate here.
Right, okay. I've just got one in mind. So you go then. You go again.
Okay. So in terms of swim speed, then, we're not talking about anything underwater in terms of underwater work off the walls, off the start. This is the middle sort of 30 meters,
on
if you
the
like,
surface.
The actual swim speed. Yes, on the surface. And I've gone for two. I've gone for Sarah Sostrom, and I've also gone for Florence Manadou.
Ooh, like that. Mm. You know I love me some Manadou.
Yeah. big fan of him. I know you are, yeah.
Okay. And my pick was Adam Peaty.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, you feel free to debate those two. Go ahead. But in my eyes, the speed he swims breaststroke, and he's getting better at turns and starts. I'm not going to slam him because he is getting better. The fact that he set short course world records proves that. Yeah. On the surface of the water, there is a reason. Long course, he is almost 2 seconds faster than every other swimmer.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to sort of sway you here because I think Adam Peaty is by far the best breaststroker we've ever seen, the world has ever seen. The reason I picked Sostrom the reason I picked Sostrom was because of she did a race, I think it was at Swedish Nationals or something, where she did the 50 fly.
Yep.
And she broke the world record by 0.6 seconds.
Yeah, no, the one.
It's completely outrageous for a 50. I mean, it's outrageous for 100, even a 200, but for a 50, it's just mental. And she's just by far the best female butterfly and freestyler, so she can do a mixture of both strokes. So
she
I'd be swayed.
She gets into her racing fast, doesn't she? She doesn't spend much time underwater.
No, I wouldn't say she's actually the strongest at the underwater phase. Starts to turn. It's a bit like Peaty, actually. So she's not sort of, that's not her strongest suits, the technical side. But when it gets to the swim speed, then that's where she wipes the floor.
I think because she has such a narrow stroke, that's why she can keep it so fast. If you watch her, kind of like an underwater camera of her, she's very narrow underneath her body for both freestyle and butterfly.
Yes, definitely. That's basically the idea of stroke technique in swimming, is to reduce drag and increase propulsion. That's, in summary, that's what swimming is all about.
And that might be why she has a few world records.
That's probably, yes. I mean, it would make sense, wouldn't it? And then, of course, Manadou is just a monster. Like, you know, the straight arm front crawl, his swim speed is incredible. But from my two, I'd be picking Sostrom.
Yeah.
But of course, she's now got to compete against Peaty, the best breaststroker we've ever seen. She's got a tough challenge there.
Yeah, and I'm not even going to try and sway you. I don't need to.
All right. Well, let's go for Peaty for swim speed. All right.
Okay. So next step would be endurance. Now, I've got a few here. The obvious pick would be Ledecky, because she can swim a 800 free at this incredible pace for the whole thing. Now, I've not gone that obvious, though. Okay, so my first one is Sato, because he swims a 400 IM at an incredible lick and does 200 fly and everything like that. He is probably, in my eyes, the best endurance swimmer out there right now.
Okay.
And then my other pick, this is really left field, and I don't think you would have seen this coming.
Okay.
Sjostrom.
Oh, okay. That is really... I can see why. Yeah, go on.
She has this 50 fly world record, which is incredible speed. Not many people will know she won bronze at the 200 free at the Olympics in Rio. And she followed that up at Worlds the next year. That wasn't a fluke. And it was just like, can you imagine Manadou doing a 200 free and winning bronze?
This is the thing
in my head.
This is the thing. If you're a 50 meter swimmer, that's usually all you can do.
Yeah.
you can kind of go up to 100 if you're the very best, like the Chalo, for example. But then to go up double that, up to 200, I can see, I knew you were going to say it. Yeah, I completely understand where you're coming from. Yeah, I mean, my choice was I went just completely endurance and I just went for Palchineri.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't even really think about it. I just saw the word endurance and I thought, there's only one choice for me here.
I mean, so, the proof of that is at, was it Italian Nationals? It might have been. He swam the 25K open water and won comfortably.
Yeah. Yes.
As well as winning 1500 at the Olympics. And okay.
Yeah, it depends on how you want to look at it. Because he does the furthest distance in the pool in the 1500 and wins it. I mean, I think he's got the world record or he's just off it or something like that. And then he does the 10K open water and you've just said he does the 25K, you know. He might as well just swim around the world and he'll be just holding the same pace.
And he's not got the most efficient stroke in the world either.
A bit like Ledecky, he doesn't have the gallop stroke, but he just has the stroke rate. I don't know how he holds that for 14 minutes over 1500 or, you know, over half an hour for the other races.
I don't think he feels any pain in his shoulders.
He must be so well drilled just to just go up and down the pool all day long. I mean, I can't imagine the meterage he does in training. Just must be insane.
Okay, so that is the obvious one. Is Sjöström pipping? I'm not sure I can. If she had won gold at 200, yes.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you're looking at the description for endurance. Is it like aerobic endurance? Is it just the machine going round and round? Or is it the versatility of going from 50 to 100?
Well, hang on. That's a later category. Versatility is a later category.
Ah, so then maybe Sjöström goes into that one.
Yeah, okay. I think endurance, we are making up the parameters here for this. And seeing as he is the best distance swimmer that we've seen in a very, very long time. I'd probably put him after this Olympics, if he wins gold, he might be up there with the Grant Hacketts.
Has to be, doesn't he? Yeah. I mean, you'd be silly not to put him in that sort of category.
Okay. Okay. So that's it's not an obvious pick because I wanted something different.
I'm doing quite well here.
You are? Oh, okay. I got to finish these last three strong then and get mine in.
Yeah, it seems that way.
Okay, so endurance, we're going Palchineri. Okay, so just as a recap, so far we have our start as Caleb Dressel. Our stroke technique
was Ryloff.
Then our pacing and tactics, we went with Ledecky.
Yep, that's right.
Our swim speed was Adam Peaty.
Yep.
And endurance, we have just gone Gregorio Palchineri.
Yes, correct. Well done for pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah. I had to really concentrate there.
It's so slow. Palchineri.
Mate, the slower you say it, the harder it is.
I know, it's harder, isn't it?
Okay, so the final kind of in-pool, let's say, in-pool attribute is turns.
Yes, I've got a list in my head of so many names.
Okay, I've got one or
you
two.
You start so this one.
I'll start with my one that I wanted to throw into this category because I kind of knew he wouldn't win starts.
Okay.
And Ryan Murphy, because of his underwater work off turns. That's what wins him races. If anyone watches ISL, you will see that in a 50-meter pool, in a 25-meter pool, he will spend 15 meters of it underwater off the turn, no matter where the turn is, if it's last length, first length, second length. To me, there's no debating. On my list, that's the only one I can throw out there as being undisputed best at turns.
Yes, that was my first name in my head as well, because he's able to do the 1500 and 200. He's basically an all-round backstroke specialist, and that's purely because of his underwater work. I mean, I've got other names in my head of Ryan Loxie, of course.
Oh, yeah, he's still current. Okay.
He is still current, yeah.
Got that.
Tom Shields, Chad Leclos, Olivia Smaliga, and there was one more which I can't remember. Oh, Coleman Stewart coming through. He's got a monster underwater as well.
See, the theme for all this, I was going to say the next one might be Beda Nelson.
Yes.
Peter Nelson. They're all backstrokers.
They're all backstrokers or flyers, yeah. Pretty much. I mean, you have to have a good underwater backstroke kick, underwater dolphin kick on your back in order to be up there with the very best. You have to.
Yeah. So who are we going here? I like your list. I really do. But seeing as we're saying backstroke's kind of the ruling factor here for the best turns in the world, Ryan Murphy is the current Olympic champion in the 100 and the 200.
Yes, I mean, that was the first name I had. It has to be sort of Ryan Murphy. Has to be. That was my first pick as well.
Okay.
So cool. Do you win that one, or do we just share that one?
I'm not sure anyone's winning here. We're just trying to create the best swimmer of all time. Only because I'm losing. That's why I'm saying that.
That's fine.
Next category, mental side. Who has the best mentality right now in the world of swimming?
Yes. Yeah, so do you want to explain to everyone what you mean by that then?
So who's a born winner? Who's got that drive? Who's got that mental edge that when everyone thinks they're going to lose, they in their mind, they have no doubt, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. I've got two names in my head.
Hit me.
The first one was Adam Peaty. Because you saw the fierce competitor in him at ISL, especially during the skins. I didn't think he was going to go as far as he did in the skins. I thought he'd get through the first round and then die off second round and maybe get to the final. I don't know. Yeah. But he's proved me wrong every time.
I think you should now stop betting against him.
Oh, no, don't be silly. he's going world records every time he gets in the pool. That's the way I'm looking at it right now. So Adam Peaty was the first name I thought of. Mm-hmm. And then the other name was Lily King for very similar reasons, actually.
Yeah.
Just because she went on a run of, I think it was 30 plus races, 30. Unbeaten at the ISL this year. Just looks so dominant. And she just didn't look like she was going to lose. And when she was beaten, she then pulled it back and then just won every race after that. Yeah. Similar to Petey, because he lost to Cam Vanderburg in, I think it was the Commies that one year, and then just hasn't lost ever since then, really.
No, not long.
They were my two picks, yeah.
I think out of those, I'd go Lily King.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was that your pick as well?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It was on my list. I had like a very draft shortlist. I kind of struggled with this one because there hasn't been that much racing for me to kind of...
Yeah, true.
Get my teeth into to see who really is that solid winner.
It is a shame that we're basing it all off one ISL meet, but that's all we've got. So you're going for Lily King?
I am. I think she was unbeaten through the whole of skins in ISL. She also, on a quick pointer with that, was her races against Efimova at the World Championships.
Yes, there was was it the Worlds and the Olympics as well? Yeah, she had to come through some sort of adversity there and just proved everyone wrong, and that's the way it should be. Thank God she did that. So
thank God she won.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And then the final category for our Frankenstein monster of a swimmer. I can't believe we've not done this podcast before. This is a lot of fun.
I'm glad I've come back to the podcast on this kind of topic. Awesome.
Yeah. So our final one is versatility. So are we saying this is someone who can do multiple events, multiple distances? Is that what we're looking at here?
That's my thought process behind it, yes.
Right, okay. So who do you have?
So again, I've got two names. I've gone for Regan Smith, who I don't know if you've kept up with Regan Smith's performances in a moment, but she is winning the fly races, the freestyle races, the backstroke races. I'm not even sure she's taking part in the IM race at the moment, but she's doing the individual races, which is quite baffling. And then the other name is Duncan Scott.
Hey, yes, Duncan Scott. Yeah. That was on my list as... Yeah. Because it's weird for British swimming to have a swimmer who could probably enter four or five events coming into Tokyo.
Well, it wasn't so much of a concern, but we were kind of thinking he's able to race all of these races, but do we want him to not burn out, but do we want him to get tired before, let's say, the final of a 200 free or something like that, you know?
Yeah, do you target the 200 free because right now he's one of the favorites going into it?
Yeah, it's a difficult one because he's more than capable of qualifying for the 2 and 4 IM, the 200 free, possibly even 100 free as well. Plus, he's going to have to do the 3 relays as well. So that's 7 races. I mean, we're approaching the Dressel-Phelps sort of amount of races here.
Yeah, I think he could possibly do the 100 and 200 fly as well.
Quite possibly, yeah. It's difficult. I mean, for me, I would want to concentrate on the 200 free. That's the one I would go for because then you've got almost two chances of 200 free with the 4x200. Then you've got the medley as well, but that's more than 100.
Yeah, he'd still be swimming the anchor legs in all of the relays.
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah. So I'd be sticking to freestyle if I were him, but there's no point changing other strokes. I mean, you need to do flying training to build that aerobic side of you as well.
But I mean, while we're talking versatility, we spoke about Sjöström, who does the 50, the 100, the 200 somehow.
Yeah.
I still can't get my head around that one. Yeah. And then you got Ledecky, who swims all the way from the 100 up to 1500 freestyle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're just going distance, you've got a few other options in mind. I think Regan Smith is doing over in America right now shouldn't go unnoticed.
It shouldn't do. I mean, way back in one of our earlier episodes, I've said that the one swimmer to watch out for is Regan Smith. And at the moment, luckily, I'm being proved right, which is nice. but at the same time, I said that the British swimmer to look out for was Duncan Scott. So I'm doing quite well on these predictions at the moment, but we've got to choose. We've got to choose. My mindset for this versatility was the different events in terms of strokes.
Okay.
So that's the reason I picked those two.
The option would be to pick an IM swimmer, but then swimming an IM and then swimming each 100 individually is very different. Will we see Regan Smith do more than just backstroke at the Olympics, though?
I honestly don't know. I mean, I thought she was just a backstroker. I didn't realize she was a world-class flyer and freestyler as well, which is incredible. And that she's still a teenager, maybe 20, something like that.
I have some other options here. My sprinting brain has just kicked in.
Go on in, yeah.
Michael Andrew.
Yes,
because
true.
He sprints every 50.
Yes, very true.
Koma Yo-Yo.
Yes, very true as well. Oh no!
Just made your life harder.
Oh no. Well, who would your choice be out of all the names you've chosen?
I think it's between the two. I love Duncan Scott, but just because you do a 200 free and a 200 or 400 IM, I don't think makes him versatile enough for this now.
Yeah, I mean, if he was able to do a bit of individual backstroke, then I think he'd be right up there. We can kind of discount breaststroke because it's such a different stroke compared to the others. Regan Smith has been proven to do all three of those strokes, apart from breaststroke, at that world-class level. Michael Andrew, I completely forgot about him. He's able to do every stroke of 50 meters.
And very well at them, yeah.
And very well at them.
And so does Koma Yo-Yo. Koma Yo-Yo sprints them all as well.
Yes, but I think Michael Andrew is slightly stronger at all of them compared to her. So let's discount her.
Okay.
Oh, no. This is tricky.
This is really hard. I'll probably go Regan Smith because sprinting a 50 is easier than doing 100 of each stroke. Does that make sense? You can get by on raw power on a 50 meter, and that can make you more versatile.
I think if you're full of fast twitch muscle fibers, you can get by doing most strokes over a 50 meter swim. So, yeah, I can see what you're sort of saying. And Regan Smith, the fact that she's able to jump in distances and strokes. Yeah. Yeah. Should we go for Regan Smith?
It's quite on trend as well. If she's the current one lighting up, is it the TYR series or over?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I've been keeping track of it. And she was taking part in pretty much every event and always top three, if not top one. So.
Okay. So that is it. I think we may have formed the best swimmer in the world in our Frankenstein monster.
Can you imagine racing that, Thomas? Jeez,
no.
You'd never win.
Okay, let's go through it all one more time. So our starts, Caleb Dressel.
Without doubt. I mean, that was one of our easiest picks. That's why he went first.
Yeah. Our stroke technique.
Went to Rylov in the backstroke.
That was a quietly surprising pick, I think.
That was my hardest one. That was the hardest one to choose.
Pacing and race tactics, Katie Ledecky.
Yep.
Swim speed, we went for Adam Peaty. There's no debate there again.
Nope.
Endurance, I'll let you pronounce this one.
Gregor Pauchinari.
Yeah, you got that. then turns, we went Ryan Murphy.
Ryan Murphy for turns, yeah.
And then mentality, we went for the skins champion in ISL, Lily King.
Lily King, yeah, that's right.
And then the versatility, just to add to the final mix of this concoction, we went with Regan Smith.
Yes, which I thought that was going to be quite an easy one to choose from, but it ended up being quite a tough one. But yes, Regan Smith for versatility, yeah.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of Americans in there, no Australians. Interesting.
I know. When you break it down like that, it is quite fascinating, because if you immediately think who's got the best technique, freestyle technique, especially in the world, country-wise, it's Australia all day long, isn't it?
Yeah.
And yet we haven't picked an Australian for stroke technique. Incredible.
Oh, that's an interesting topic, actually. I'm really glad we did that as our first kind of comeback as a group.
Yes, podcast. Well, on... If, for listeners listening in, if you disagree with any of our choices and you think you want to redo our stuff, we'll leave a comment below and leave little lists of the attributes, and then they can fill it in for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be interesting to see other people's thoughts on it.
I think there's a lot of debate here. It could go so many different ways, as we kind of always preface with all of our decisions when we're picking who's going to win a race, who's our favorite swimmer. This is our opinion. We are not fact. This is... basically, just if we were in a lab, this is what we'd do. Who know what would come out the other side?
In a lab, okay. I was thinking more down a pub, just as a general chit chat. But no, we're in the lab.
No,
now.
I'm thinking actually making this Frankenstein monster.
Okay, I mean, out of our list, I think maybe two or three are nailed on. The rest are up for grabs.
Yeah. So I'd love to know how other people look at this. So Dan, welcome back to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. It is good to have you back.
Yes, thank you very much. It's been good fun. We should do this again.
We will. We will. There are a few more interviews that I have lined up in the coming weeks, but we will be getting Dan now on the phone a bit more, having a chat through things, and hopefully pools open again soon so we can all get back swimming. Because it's been depressing talking about no pools.
It's been pretty hard for me, actually, on my full-time furlough. I haven't been able to do anything. And of course, haven't been able to get around to yours to do these recordings. But luckily, we've had these awesome guests on. I think last week was Hannah Miley. That's one of our biggest names. Awesome, awesome episode.
That was really interesting.
If you haven't
heard
that one, listen to it. Oh, yeah. I was gripped the whole time. We've got some amazing guests coming up. So you don't want to miss any of that. But hopefully when lockdown stops, we are able to meet up and actually do more face-to-face over Zoom or anything. So, yeah.
And I just want to end this episode by saying thank you to everyone who has subscribed to us over on YouTube, because we have now passed 1,000 subscribers, which is a big milestone.
I know. We very much appreciate it. We've done it's just amazing. Awesome. Thank you very much for all your support. Out.
Difficult, I mean, especially when pools aren't open, we appreciate a lot of people aren't going to be going onto YouTube and learning different swimming techniques. So we really, really appreciate anyone who's joined us on this journey so far. If you haven't, please feel free to go over to YouTube, subscribe to the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel. And if you have, why not share us with your friends and family? They might be interested as well.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. So that just about rounds up this week's episode of the Propulsion Swimming Podcast. I hope you guys listening at home have had as much fun as we have. I'm glad we chose this topic. It's been really fun.
I know, we need to find more similar topics like this, actually, don't we?
Let's make some more monsters.
Yes, yeah. In our lab that we have next door or something, yeah.
Right. I have been Scott. I've been your host. He has been Dan, finally back on the show. And I will see you in 7 days.
And we'll catch you on the next one.
You've been listening to the Propulsion Swimming Podcast with Scott and Dan. We want to thank you for joining us and invite you to subscribe to the show, as well as checking out the Propulsion Swimming YouTube channel for weekly tutorials and videos to get your swimming fix. We will be back next week. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
I swam 1,416 lengths of my local pool, that's 22 miles, the width of the English Channel. In 12 weeks, you could conquer the English Channel too. Rediscover the joys of swimming from April by taking on Diabetes UK's life-changing challenge, Swim 22, in your local pool, and find a fitter you with every stroke. Click the banner or search Swim 22 to sign up for free today.